session is the Portland City Council.
Amend the 2035 Comprehensive Plan map and amend the official zoning, city zoning map to carry out Portland's 2035 Comprehensive Plan.
Well, it doesn't seem like long ago that we were just here talking about this. We're here today to conduct a deliberation session where proposed amendments will be considered and then move and second amendments that the council wants to consider further to the map refinement project. Carla, technically, I need you to call the roll again. Because we adjourned?
As what?
Oh, we're continued. Okay. All right, good. Does legal counsel read my cheat sheets?
I'm
going to make sure you do. Okay, very good. So, BPS staff, Eric, I'm just reading the document.
I think that there BPS didn't realize that there was an item, another BPS item before.
Okay,
them.
BPS staff.
So they thought they were starting the meeting.
All right, that's fine.
That was
Eric Engstrom and Marty Stockton. Welcome. We're missing somebody. That's all right.
Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. With me is Marty Stockton, who's been the project manager for the map refinement project. And I'm just here to remind you, once again, we're leaving the central city and now talking about the citywide comprehensive plan.
Correct.
And as you mentioned, this is deliberation on a hearing you had recently. This is one of several actions we're taking to clean up loose ends to make sure we have a smooth implementation of the new plan later in May. Just for your review again and for the benefit of the audience, those actions included tying up loose ends on the zoning map and comprehensive plan map, which is what we're talking about today. You'll talk next week about the code aspects, and then you recently discussed the transportation system plan phase 3, which is also important to make sure that the plan goes smoothly. So with that context, Marty will orient us to where we are with the potential amendments.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. So the draft amendments are based on public testimony, and you have this document before you right here. So it's about an 11 by 17 document.
Where do we have that, Marty? Aha.
Coming to you shortly.
Is it the same as the one that you previously given out?
This one was updated as of noon today. So just check the time at the bottom there. So again, the proposed amendments before you are based on public testimony to the recommended draft of the map refinement project that came out in February of this year, as well as City Council and city staff input. City Council received 84 pieces of written testimony and heard from over 30 people at the public hearing held on March 14th. Today, we are holding a deliberation session to consider and then move and second the amendments that Council wants to consider further. Those amendments are part of the amendment table, which, again, is the handout that is now before you. By identifying a possible amendment, the sponsoring commissioner is expressing an interest in further discussion. However, they have not yet committed to vote for the change. So I just wanted to establish that disclaimer. So today we have 21 items to discuss. Those include new map changes that were proposed again through either public testimony or city staff, as well as modifications to the PSC recommendation. So there are a few of those. There are also 22 consent items in the staff memos dated from March 8th, 13th, and 26th. So that is what we have before us today. There are a couple of other process items. I'm going to reiterate those at the end of the presentation. So I thought we could just use this time by going through this pretty quickly. I'm hoping that it is quick, but this time is yours, so this is a time for you to have conversations with staff if there's any conversation or deliberation that's needed. So I'm going to start with the new map changes, and I am literally going to work through the amendments table. So we'll go through each one. So we're going to start with proposed amendments from Commissioner Udaly, which are items 1 through 3. These are all in coordination with staff at the Bureau of Development Services. These three properties with the map changes before you are land use reviews and approvals that have occurred within the last year at the Bureau of Development Services. So the purpose of this proposed amendments are just to reconcile them and bring them into the 2035 comprehensive plan map and zoning map. Is there any discussion?
Carly, do you have an extra page one over there? Thank you.
Okay. So I can keep going if that's...
Please.
Okay.
We could do this two ways. We could go through the whole package, and we could approach this as a package, mm-hmm. or we could do it individually. It's the council's call.
I'm not sure we're going to have much controversy near.
I can't imagine we would, but I just wanted to leave that option open. Do it as a package. Good.
Okay.
All right.
Great. So item number four, our proposed amendment, is from Commissioner Fish. This is, again, a small package of map changes from the Bureau of Environmental Services to apply open space zoning on recently acquired property within BES's public property inventory. These are properties that are, for the most part, purchased through the Willing Seller Program. If you look at the next slide, these are the collection of Bureau of Environmental Services requests. All of these maps have kind of squiggly lines on them, and those relate to environmental zoning. What is not shown is that most of these are within floodplain. So again, the request from Bureau of Environmental Services is for these residentially zoned properties that are now within their ownership to go to an open space designation. The next proposed amendment is from Commissioner Fish. This is the Albertina Kerr site at 22nd and Flanders. This is a request from Albertina Kerr to go from R1 to CM3D. This site is a split-zoned site with a non-conforming surface parking lot and a non-conforming thrift store that Commissioner Udaly is familiar with. And so the proposal here is for the site to go all to one zone, which is the CM3D zone. Okay. So moving on to proposed amendment item six. This is from Commissioner Fritz, sponsoring Portland Parks and Rec's request to include trail segments to Northwest Thurman, as well as to the East Delta Park. That would fill in some gaps along the trail alignments that are on the zoning map. Proposed amendment number seven is also from parks. There's actually three more parks-related amendments. This is on North Columbia Boulevard, a little triangle piece, that there is a request to go from the existing designation of open space to R5. The rationale is that this is a small parcel which is not suited for park development, and there is adequate park service in the area from the nearby North Gate and George Parks.
And I'd just like to address this on the next two. Colleagues, as we were looking at through the budget process to see where we could reduce maintenance, where there are properties that are not going to be parks that we ought to get rid of, or consider getting rid of, I found three, I think, sites that might be suitable for that. I want to emphasize that we would, if we decide to dispose of them in any way, that we would go through the full public process, including the council hearing with four votes required to declare them a surplus property. I haven't decided whether we are going to even start that process yet, but since there is this opportunity as part of the comprehensive plan map to put them as something other than open space, this would allow them to have some viable use should the city decide we don't want them. In this case, and I think one or two of the others, well, certainly one of the others, the property might revert to the county if it's going back into if it's remaining in public ownership, it's still a good idea to have some kind of useful purpose for it. I will be visiting the neighbourhood associations of all of the properties that we're putting on the list here, hopefully before May, so that I can report back to you.
I think that's really smart. Thank you for that.
Great. Thank you. So moving on to the next site, this is the site that I believe is owned by Multnomah County, Commissioner Fritz. This is a property on 62nd Drive in the Crestwood neighborhood, currently open space proposed to go to R7, which is the zoning that is the surrounding. Again, this is a property that was formally zoned R7 in 1999. Portland Parks feels that this parcel is small and not suited for park development. And then if you look at the aerial photo, you can see that Dickinson Park is less than 800 feet to the east. The final parks request is here on Southeast 63rd Avenue in the Mount Tabor neighborhood. This is within the Mount Tabor park. The proposal is open space to a single dwelling 10,000 square feet or OOS to R10. This is actually a tax lot that has an existing single family house that is currently tenant occupied. The 9,000 square foot lot should reflect its current use, which is a single family house. Additionally, the R10 zone does allow open space and park use, so that's another consideration.
And in our packet, there's a couple of typos. One is it's 63rd Avenue, not 62nd Avenue, and the second is the request is to R10, not R7. And this is particularly important because, as you mentioned, this house does have a tenant, and so I want to again emphasize that nothing is happening anytime soon and that we're working with the tenants as well as with the neighborhood association.
I'll note the corrections in the packet. Thank you. Okay, so we're moving on to testimony, public testimony that was received to City Council. This is a property on...
Incorrect on that. I was looking at the one. We've got a Southwest 62nd and a Southeast 63rd.
Yes.
Sorry, so you were correct in the first place. Yes,
okay.
Sorry.
Great. Okay. So moving on to North Greeley in North Portland and the Arbor Lodge neighborhood, there was a request that you received for one site with three tax lots that are currently zoned R5 to go to a mixed-use dispersed or CM1 zone. The request was that this is an area that potentially could have an expansion of commercial mixed use, and it is also a site that is, if you look at the area photo, directly across from a commercially zoned area and a surface parking lot. So again, this was a request received through public testimony. Moving east to the Coley neighborhood, we have a request from a community member to have the zoning go from R10 to R5 in compliance with the comprehensive plan for redevelopment of single dwelling zoning or single dwelling development. Staying in Coley, there is this road of 66th Avenue just north of the Columbia Boulevard, which has a comprehensive plan map designation of industrial sanctuary. The current zoning is a farm and forest residential zone, and the proposal or the request from public testimony is to go to an industrial zone. One of the reasons why we held off on changing just from to the industrial zoning is because there are single-family residences in this area, and this request is actually from the property owners, that they are aware of the difference between the two maps and would like to have the industrial zoning at this time.
That's all of the properties there?
Correct. Okay, now moving down to the Reed neighborhood in Southeast Portland. There was testimony received on the property on Northeast 28th. This is the site that has had for decades a fruits and farm and fruit produce stand that is currently on a revocable permit. So the request is for just the portion that is R2 to go to a CM1 zone to acknowledge this commercial use. The property owner did make contact with the Reed Neighborhood Association, and the Reed Neighborhood Association is supportive of this request. Okay, now moving to Hillsdale neighborhood in southwest Portland. There was a joint request from the property owner, which is the Greater Portland Bible Church, as well as the Habitat for Humanity Portland Metro East jointly, to have a portion of the church property go from R7 to R2 for a affordable housing development. I think the proposal is about 27, 28 attached houses for home ownership. This area does have some environmental zoning, which would remain in that the R2 would provide the ability to do a little bit of a cluster type development of this site. So moving to the Crestwood neighborhood in southwest Portland, there was testimony received from two property owners where because of the current zoning, the R10 zoning, there are two lots that are currently unbuildable. So their request was to go to the R7 zone so the existing tax lots could become buildable.
I have a quick question on that. Mm-hmm. If memory serves, those lots were slightly under 7,000 feet, mm-hmm. but this will still achieve the goal.
So there still would be the need to do some property line adjustments to get up to that threshold that's needed for development, but that at least gives them an avenue for development of the lots, as opposed to the situation today where there's no opportunity to...
There's no just... direct fix, we have to make them jump through more hoops?
So the direct fix would be to go to an R5 zone. Mm-hmm. It's tricky because if you look at the land use pattern, there isn't R5 zone in the vicinity. So it's we felt like the R7 was a more, it was a an easier staff-supported recommendation.
I would add that this site is directly across the freeway from a potential light rail station that's part of the Southwest Corridor discussion, and the decision to build that station, and with that station there may be a pedestrian crossing of the freeway here, and so that would make this site a lot more accessible. It's a little premature to say that's a certainty, but we will be revisiting zoning around the station areas once we have certainty about those stations, and so we could look at this again at that time.
I just would really like them to be able to build that house.
The challenge being that the open space in the top left, that's the headwaters of Woods Creek, and so it's quite challenging to develop in that area at all, and so you might actually find that it's more challenging to develop at mm-hmm. R5 because mm-hmm. of the required minimum density.
Okay. All right. I knew you guys knew best, but I was interested in...
Yeah, that actually was discussed among staff. It's a reasonable question to bring up. Okay, now moving to the Northwest District. There was a request from EXBO Logistics, which doesn't roll off my tongue quite like Conway used to. But there is a site here on Northwest Thurman that this would just be a zone change request from IG1 to CM3D, which is what was, what the comp plan map designation or vision is for this site. We did have staff look at the master plan and the needed transportation improvements have occurred. That's one of the reasons why we held off on zoning this outright in the 2035 comp plan. But again, the transportation issues have been addressed or in process. Okay. Moving to Mayor Wheeler's amendments, proposed amendment 17, there's an amendment that has been requested by the Portland Housing Bureau for their site here on North Syracuse Street that is within the University Park Neighborhood Association. This site is also referred to as the Cary Boulevard. It's actually along the Peninsula Crossing Trail, pretty area. The request is for the most part, it would be simply a zone change in compliance with the comprehensive plan map. There is a very small portion that it would be a comp plan and zone change. But again, the purpose of this is for redevelopment to affordable housing by the Portland Housing Bureau. So this is the last new map change request, and this is from the property owner here at the intersection of MLK and Alberta. This is a full block that is under ownership or under option to purchase. This is simply a zone map change from CM2D to CM3D. It is worth noting that this is across the street from the Nature Grocers and the formerly the Prosper Portland site, which actually has the CM3 zoning. So this is just making sure that the zoning is the same on both sides of the street. This, I would note, King Neighborhood Association was contacted, and we did receive a letter of support in the public record from the King Neighborhood Association on this request. Okay, so we're now moving to, we have three more that I want to talk about. These are modifications to PSC recommended map changes. So the first one is a proposed amendment from Commissioner Udaly, number 19, and it is for what is called the Alberta Abbey site, that's the nickname. There is some backstory on this. Before the Planning and Sustainability Commission, testimony was received by the property owner for the surface parking lot, which is the parking or the property to the north, and the PSC had recommended R1 for the surface parking lot. This is an area that is R2.5, which is a single dwelling zone. And again, both properties in question are currently zoned R2.5 at this time. Some new testimony has come in from the property owner, which also owns the church building property to the south. The request is for a CM2D zoning on both tax lots, and that has actually been the consistent request from this particular property owner. So this is the proposal. Today I did receive a clarification from Commissioner Udaly that the amendment that she is putting forward, the proposed amendment, is for the surface parking lot to go to the CM2D as the property owner has requested, but the church property to the south would have a map change of R1. And I can explain the rationale behind the R1, the difference in zoning, if that's helpful.
So could I ask a question? Mm-hmm. And I appreciate the property owner's clarification on that. And I'd be inclined to support this. The staff memo had said that CM2D was not recommended for either location. Why would you not recommend it for the one on the north side of the
right.
parking lot?
So, for us, this is an area that is probably worth a future planning conversation with the community. There are some existing nonconforming residential buildings, some one- and two-story garden apartments, and kind of a sprinkling of nonconforming density that is pretty classic to what we call the inner ring or the older neighborhoods that are just outside of the central city. But we haven't had that conversation with the community. The existing development along this stretch of Alberta from about Northeast Cleveland to the west and then to, can't even read it, I guess it's Garfield, to the east, it is pretty low density existing development. And then the zoning is R2.5, which again is a single dwelling zone. So to go to CM2 just seems like a little bit of a big lift that has a policy implication, but also it's the potential scale of redevelopment is significant. In this area, a CM2 zone has the potential of, it's a base of 45 feet plus an additional 5 feet for an ample ground floor with active space, plus an additional 10 feet of if it meets the affordable housing threshold. So there could potentially be a building constructed at 60 feet in height if you were to apply the CM2 zone with the D overlay.
And this stretch of Alberta is primarily residential in character.
That's correct.
The area doesn't have a shortage of commercial opportunities, so that was our thinking. It is a very good site for housing, so if you know, the pro side of the equation is if the CM2 helps a project pencil out that will deliver needed housing, that could be a benefit.
And I would like to say that what's interesting is that the site that we talked about at MLK in Alberta is, I wish I had a little arrow to point, but it's just a few blocks away where we are proposing and are supportive of CM3 zoning, which again is a 6 to 7 story capacity of development there. This is just a little bit more of a residential segment of Alberta.
So shall I weigh in, or do we wait until we're done with all of them?
Why don't you, while it's fresh in our mind.
Sure. So this is an exciting affordable housing proposal that will be developed over multiple lots along Alberta. This particular site, they want to preserve the church, so they're going to pursue the historic designation, so the R1 is fine. And I think you're right, Eric, the CM2 request is about penciling out and financing. All told, we are set to get 160 affordable units. They have 25 FASH vouchers, a master lease with Join, and there will be at least 25 two-bedroom apartments. So, and perhaps, well, exciting, second only to the affordable housing, is the fact that this is going to be an arts and culture-based development, and they're bringing in an organization called Engage that provides arts and culture programming and opportunity for residents, and that will take place primarily in the church. I appreciate that you're open to the conversation, but this is a project that could move forward sooner than later, and I need more persuading. I mean, I'm offering this amendment, obviously, because I believe in the project, and I'm not persuaded that it's something that we should put on hold.
Mayor, I'll second the amendment.
And I'd like to vote on this separately. We have received testimony from people in the community about this application, and the challenge with a spot zoning like this is that there's no guarantee that what is being proposed is actually going to be what gets built.
It's separate from the package, I think, anyway. So, yeah.
What could I propose something? And I realize we're all tired, so I apologize for process on top of process on top of process. There didn't seem to be any conflict at all on the first 18 of the previously offered amendments. Could we move those as a package?
Second.
So yeah. We have a motion now for the first, I believe it was 19 amendments. No, I'm sorry, the first 18 amendments is a package. It's been seconded by Commissioner Fish. We now have a motion and a second for 19. And I have a procedural question for legal counsel. So are we taking public testimony on these new amendments? I note that there are people here who are holding signs, and I'm wondering if there's a testimony opportunity on new amendments.
repeated.
So we were going to talk about some process steps a little later, but I'm going to jump to it. Right now, the public record is closed. There has been a request by Commissioner Fritz to open up the public record. The request was for written testimony only. That is obviously something that could be discussed. But if we were to open up the public record, staff's recommendation is that we would open it up and have it go till 8 a.m. on Wednesday, April 25th. So I think, you know, whether or not you're open for opening it up for public testimony right now, I think that's something that you can discuss.
The purpose of setting a date a few weeks out was to give us time to notify the affected property owners. So otherwise, there's not really much point in collecting testimony that no one knows is available.
So the proposal from staff would be that we open it up for written testimony until 8 a.m. on Wednesday, the 25th, right. And you would make an affirmative notification to the people in the immediate area.
We're going to do an email notification tomorrow to all those that had submitted testimony and are also part of the legislative project record. And then we are going to be doing a mailed notice to the full 43 amendments before you to the affected property owners as well as the occupants within 100 feet. So that notice will not be able to hit the mailboxes until Wednesday. That's the soonest we can get it out.
Thus the extension to the 25th. Okay, I certainly don't have a
And that's with that. That timeline still allows us for you to come back and make your decision and have your second vote by May 24th. So it doesn't hold up the comp plan implementation at all. We have enough time to accommodate that.
Okay, good, because I'd like to hear more on this.
I'd like to hear the people who came today. I don't know why they came, but
I do have one more question.
Because my request had been just for the written record.
How many people would like to talk on this? I have no objections.
Well, then, but if we're going to make that exception today, the proposal before us is to only allow others to appear by written record. So is it your intention to open this up for a hearing for anybody? Because that's the implication of taking oral.
Yeah, no, that's right. Commissioner Fish is correct. We have to be consistent. So, no, we will take written testimony, and I will promise you I will read it thoroughly.
Mayor.
Commissioner.
I have one more clarifying question going back to amendment number 19. Could we dig into the difference between R1 and CM2?
Sure.
They're both medium density. Mm-hmm. R1 is residential. CM2 includes commercial as well. I understand that. What gets confusing, I believe they're both buildable to four stories.
Right.
But what gets confusing is all the bonuses.
Right.
And,
right.
Yeah. So what are we talking about as far as difference in height between R1 and CM2?
So for the R1, again, it's a maximum height of 45 feet. The current density would be one unit per 1,000 square feet of site area. There's some ability to do some slight amenity bonuses beyond that. But for this site, which is a 9,600 square foot site, you know, you're looking at 10 to 12 units,
oh, okay.
Kind of in that range with the R1.
Okay.
With that said, and what we had clarified in the staff report is that we have a legislative project called the Better Housing by Design, which is an update to our multi-dwelling zones. The R1 zone is going to be evolving to the fact where it's no longer limited to a maximum density of one unit per 1,000 square feet of site area. It would rather be a maximum density of what you could fit within a floor area ratio of 1.5 to 1, which could bonus up to 2.25 to 1.
Now that's just a staff discussion draft proposal,
right,
at this stage.
Yeah,
so
right.
I have no idea whether by the time,
right,
it gets to you, it would be
that. And then
how many
other
units
item
would that be?
Yeah, what's the difference in units?
See, that's the problem with the the proposed draft. Nobody knows what it means.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And then with CM2, mm-hmm, how high?
So the height, again, would be a base of 45 with an additional 5 feet for your ground floor active. And then an additional 10 feet for affordable housing bonus, so a total of 60 feet
And okay. In CM2, it's floor area based, so whatever fits within the allowed envelope, typically we see units at a rate of like 1 per 1,000 square feet of the building envelope, but it can vary.
And I think one important caveat is that right now the market is hot on residential household uses. This project, that site, could be developed 100% retail or office. So there's no guarantee if this development doesn't go through that if it hits the next development cycle that it would not be some other mix of uses.
And there's no way for us to put any restrictions on that?
You put another asterisk on it.
With a legislative project, yeah, we typically don't have a mechanism to attach specific conditions to individual properties. If they went through a zone change through BDS, that can be done through that process.
And what's the height under the current R2.5A?
35 feet.
And about how many homes would be on that?
On a 9,600?
Three or four,
thanks for doing the math.
Plus three or four ADUs, I guess, to be clear.
Right, thank you.
Very good.
Okay.
All right. Next one, please. Commissioner Daly, anything else on 19?
Okay, thank you.
All righty. Next one, please.
So I just had some slides of just context on this one.
Oh, good. Thanks. Could you go back? I didn't
sure,
get a good look at them.
Yeah, just to orient folks. So on the right-hand column, I have the surface parking lot, and then directly south is the church building. Again, it's kind of a 1940s style church.
Okay.
And then on the left-hand column is just some context. So that's actually on the west. So the house on the north is directly west of the surface parking lot. There's an alley that separates the two. And then on the south, the house that's on the south side of Alberta, that is a house that's directly abutting the church.
Thank you.
Okay, so moving on to proposed amendment from Commissioner Fritz, number 20. This is related to the Trinity Episcopal Cathedral surface parking lot. That was a PSC recommendation for the surface parking lot to go from RH to CM3D, and that is to facilitate the development of structured parking and some medical office building to support the fact that this is a regional draw to the religious institution here. They also had, in their testimony, there's actually a number of surface parking lots that Trinity owns in the vicinity, and if they were to do surface or structured parking at this site, then the other properties that they own, they're very interested in doing affordable housing on those other surface parking lots. So that was the discussion at the Planning and Sustainability Commission. Before council, the adjacent property at 1807 Northwest Davis is a what we call a nonconforming dental office building that is currently zoned RH. And so their request is to be acknowledged with a zone that would allow a commercial or office. Additionally, the dental office actually works in partnership with Trinity Episcopal Cathedral, where they allow church parishioners to use their surface parking or their parking on the dental office site during church hours. So there is a lot of collaboration between the two property owners, and they're also interested in the CM3D zone as well. And just a couple of context slides. That's the surface parking lot on the left that Trinity owns, and then to the right, that is a kind of a mid-century dental office, the Dottery dentist office. Okay, so this is our...
Before we move off 20, do we need a second on that, or has that already been seconded? I think we need a second.
Second.
We got a second. Yeah. Good. Great. Okay, 21.
Thank you. Okay, so this is the final item of discussion today. So this is a property up on a Northwest St. Helens Road, which is within the Northwest District, and specifically the Willamette Heights subdivision. There was a considerable amount of testimony at Planning and Sustainability Commission that has also continued to City Council. There is, I would say, an overarching proposal to, in collaboration with the Code Reconciliation Project, which you had the hearing, I believe, was it last week? There was a proposal to remove the buffer overlay from employment and industrial zones because staff was making revisions to the employment and industrial base zones to improve the setback and landscaping requirements. Do you want to jump in?
Sure. I think we sent a memo summarizing the testimony on that project today, and in that we noted, I think, that given the amount of testimony and controversy about the issue of the buffer overlay, we think it would be wise to set that aside and withdraw that and have you ask us to come back within the year or so to think more on that and to not include the removal of the buffer overlay.
I'll quickly second that. Mm-hmm. I can't second that one fast enough. Come back in 6 years and tell us.
Thanks
what
a lot for that one, by the way.
Great. So that was just a context slide. So it is worth noting that also in the amendment packet before you, there are, I believe, 22 items, so 22 through 43, that are minor technical map change additions as well as errata. These were referenced in the March 8th, 13th, and then March 26th staff reports before you, which are also available on the website. Our request is that at the March 14th hearing, Mayor Wheeler had requested that just the 8th and the 13th staff memo items be included as a consent package. We are asking that that be modified to include the March 26th staff memo items as well.
Yeah, good. Can we get a motion and a second to incorporate the March 26th items into the consent package amendment? We have a motion from Fish, a second from Fritz. Thank you. So I believe we have now addressed the amendments on the table as of now. And you can tell us what the next steps are, please.
Okay.
I think you already had the conversation about opening up the record. So it sounds like what we're doing is opening the record for written testimony through April 25th at 8 a.m. And then we will come back on that day with updated exhibits and the appropriate substitutions so that we'll be ready, if you're ready, to move those on to a final reading or make further amendments as appropriate based on what you heard in the testimony.
Okay, very good. And Commissioner Fritz had suggested we keep the record open, and I've been advised by staff that's not legally required, but it's great from a procedural perspective. And if we do that, BPS is going to send out notifications to affected properties. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good move. So the written record will reopen today, April 4th, and stay open until Wednesday, April 25th at 8 a.m. We'll come back again on Wednesday, April 25th, to deliberate again.
Yeah, what time?
Wait. If we're going to be deliberating on April 25th, it won't be necessarily time for staff to get us the testimony.
I am hoping that we get as much testimony in early so I can be compiling a staff memo as testimony is coming in. I'm not sure what time we have available on April 25th as far as a time certain.
May I suggest we change it to April 24th at 8 a.m. to give you that day to compile everything?
Sure.
That would be lovely.
April 24th, then, at 8 a.m.
And so I really appreciate you having it at 8 a.m. rather than 5 p.m. Thank you.
Just to be clear, the record will stay open then until Wednesday, April 24th.
Tuesday.
At 8 a.m. That is a Tuesday. Thank you, Commissioner Fritz.
The 2 p.m. is open, but Mayor, you're gone that week. April 25th, correct?
That's what it says. The world moves on, whether I'm here or not.
And this, again, wouldn't be the final vote.
No, I understand. Okay, good. So based on the outcome of today's deliberation, I'd also suggest staff prepare the appropriate as amended substitute ordinances and exhibits to have them ready to go on the 25th. On the 25th, we'll accept that material and decide if any further changes are needed based on new testimony. Council will take a final vote on May 24th. The final vote must take place after the new 2035 comprehensive plan is in effect, since these actions amend the new plan. Do we get that right? Is there anything else?
Thank you.
Hallelujah. That concludes our business for today. We are adjourned.
Does it?
Good
job.
Okay. Good call on the...